school committee. Yeah. You were one of the first ones that came to my mind. I want to tell you that. So I thank you for doing that.
Well, you're welcome, but I can't come.
Okay, we don't have to. You don't have to. Okay, but yeah, I appreciate you.
Well, you
get to know another.
Yeah.
Sally's going to say something.
Welcome to Jenkins Church this morning. Do we have any first-time visitors today? I'm going to do the section to my left. Yes, sir. Okay, welcome. We're glad you're with us this morning. Right up in the very front. Okay, how about in the middle section? Any first-time visitors in the middle? Okay, and how about to my right? Okay, Elizabeth. Okay, welcome. We're glad you're with us this morning. In the very back, next to Miss Elizabeth. Okay. Do we have any announcements this morning? Sally? Are there any other announcements, Sharon? Yeah, looked like we had a good turnout, so that's good.
I believe we have barbecue for sale and buns and beans to give away. kitchen after the service if you want to go. Sherry asked to announce that we still have some, at least barbecue. It's best in town.
Yeah, I think there was quite a bit still left in there. So
go by there if you're interested.
Are there any other announcements?
We'll probably have barbecue Wednesday night instead of hamburgers. I think that's
the pork chops. Okay. Barbecue instead of pork chops. Then. Okay. Any other announcements? Okay.
We have, we're working on the yearbook or the pictorial directory. We want everybody who will, and even if you don't want to, would you go ahead and get your picture made? We need the picture in there. There's no cost, no cost at all. If you want to buy the pictures, they will cost.
Okay.
You're under no obligation to buy pictures. They promised us that. They will come and offer them, and they promise no pressure. If they start giving you pressure, come to see me, and I'll go fuss at them. But we do want your picture in it, and if you're just an attender and not a member, we still want your picture if you'll let us have it with the information.
Okay.
And it's next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
And sign-up sheets are out.
Sign-up sheets are in the lobby.
Okay.
Also, the Lions Club is having a pancake breakfast. The Lions Club raises money to help with glasses, to help with a national site program, with Vanderbilt's site program. And also, we give money when somebody has a tragedy in the community. Like we had two burnouts this year, and I think we have given money to both families there. We have to use all our fundraiser money for somebody else. We can't use it for ourselves. And we have to pay our own way, in other words. Saturday from 6:30 to 10:30, they're using our building. We're just giving them a place to serve the breakfast because the rec center, et cetera, all that can't be used right now.
Okay.
And so if you want to come and just fellowship and support the Lions Club and the community, 6:30 to 10:30 next Saturday.
Okay.
And you can get your picture made after that if you're on the list for then.
There you go. Breakfast and your picture all at one time. Okay. Any other announcements? Okay. Are there any prayer requests, praise requests this morning? Mary Jo? Okay, thank you. Amount of prayer in this. Any other prayers? Elizabeth? Okay. Are there any other prayer concerns?
A Parks girl, Lincoln County, a high school senior. She was killed in an accident. Her father is in the hospital. The Parks family out of Champ Church in Lincoln County.
Okay, Parks family. Are there any others? Okay. If not, let's take a moment of silent prayer to prepare our hearts and our worship and our minds for worship. Call to worship. Please stand. Come, let us sing our songs of joy to the Lord.
We will tell of God's power and victorious love.
Let our voices be heard everywhere.
Let our songs of praise never end.
Let all the earth echo the songs of God's mighty love.
Let us feel the strength of God coursing through us.
Shout the good news.
Christ is alive.
Christ calls us.
Praise be to God.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. Singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. Singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. My Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. And conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Lord God, we thank You that You raised Jesus up from that grave, that He conquered it. And Lord, we thank You that You are mighty to save. To save us from sin and Satan, save us from hell, save us from eternity separated from You, and save us, mighty to save us, unto an eternity in Your presence around Your throne. Lord, as we come today, we just thank You, we praise You, we offer ourselves in worship to You. Lord, You've given us a story to tell, an experience to share, and Lord, we just thank You that we can be a part of Your kingdom, that we can gather together in Your name to worship and praise You, the God of creation, the God of salvation, the God of eternity. Thank You, Lord, that we can be Your people, and You'll be our God, And we offer our prayer in the name of Jesus who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated. Thank you.
If you'll join me in the Apostles' Creed, it's on the screen or it's in your hymnal on page 716.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
Call to confession. All the people, even the tax collectors, when they heard Jesus' words, acknowledged that God's way was right. Let us confess our failure to live God's way. Our prayer of confession is in unison, if you'll join me. We rejoice in the wonder of your resurrection, O Christ, but then tend to sink back into our old ways of thinking, behaving, responding to people's needs. We can dance with the angels and all humankind on Easter Sunday, but the days following the day of resurrection cause us to slip back into apathy or despair. Forgive us when we so easily become distracted by our own cares and worries, that we ignore the needs of others around us. Forgive us when we forget your power and love for us. Change us up, O Lord. Set our hearts to dancing. Give us a spirit for rejoicing, willing hearts and hands for helping, voices for praising you forever. Amen. Our words of assurance. Sing, shout, rejoice. Jesus calls you to serve because of his love for you. He believes in you and all the gifts you have been given. Do not be afraid. Christ is with you always.
Thank you.
offertory sentence? All should give as they are able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God that he has given you. Would our ushers please come forward?
About 20 years ago, we met Gail Winnett, her boys. They became a part of the congregation. And then somewhere 5-6 years ago, we met David Crispin. I'm sorry to mispronounce it. We learned that David is a great singer. And he may be the best singer in Braintree, Massachusetts. We welcome him today. And a month or two ago, one person requested this song, and it takes a while to get it prepared and worked in. And when David said he would sing this one, we doubly appreciate you for that. David, if you'll come and sing for us this morning.
Does the Lord work in mysterious ways or what?
Amen.
Amen.
He does.
Greetings from Braintree, Massachusetts. I parked the car. I hope you can understand me. I will tell you, In the Garden is one of my favorite songs. There are two types of people in the world. This is my personal opinion.
Okay.
There are sports enthusiasts and there are gardeners. I know nothing of football, basketball, hockey. Don't know anything about that. But I do know that you can take the girl out of Tennessee. But sometimes you got to take a little Tennessee back home. And just to prove the point, I stole cotton seeds from the Hermitage. And I have been harvesting cotton in Boston for the last 5 years.
Amen.
It can be done. So I like to get up early in the morning and do In the Garden. And this is a favorite song. Melanie, shall we try this?
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me, the Son of God is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Amen.
Amen.
Now it's time for children's time. If the children would come up with
me.
Brother Larry.
Miss Andrea wasn't going to be here. And she couldn't talk. And then I usually go to Miss Mary Jane.
Our scripture lesson today is taken from Isaiah, Matthew, Acts, and Luke. From Isaiah, he says, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. This is what the Lord says. In the time of my favor I will answer you, and in the day of salvation I will help you. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people, to restore the land and to reassign its desolate inheritances, to say to the captives, come out, and to those in darkness, be free. They will feed beside the roads and find pasture on every barren hill." From Matthew. "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." From Acts. So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to resolve the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And from Luke. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from the high."
Have any Blues Brothers fans in here this morning? One Blues Brothers fan. Maybe another one? Two, three, four, five? They made a movie back in the 1980s. I think it was in 1980. Called A Mission from God. Do you remember it? And they went through torment, at least, and maybe high waters, to fulfill their mission. But I want to compare or contrast their determination to do what God, or they felt God had called them to do, with our readiness, eagerness, willingness, determination to do what God has called us to do, or our lack thereof. And that may be a little critical, maybe even a little negative, but maybe it won't be too negative. Okay. Aykroyd and Belusi, they did a good job, did they not? Wrecked a few cars, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think they were going to save an orphanage or something. I'm not sure I remember all the details. They had to go pay the taxes. Anyhow, we have been given a mission. More important than the Blues Brothers had. It's from God, and it's for God. A variety of scripture, word from God, the word of God, the infallible rule of faith and practice. To believe and to obey, to live by, practice. And we have selected various passages that remind us of our mission. We've been commissioned to fulfill a mission. The church. We are the church. Small segment of it, but still the church. The church has been given the responsibility to give a witness concerning Jesus Christ
to the world. We're to witness of the person of Jesus, who he is, Son of God, God in the flesh, the Savior, the Messiah, and the work of Jesus, and what he did for us. He died on the cross. He suffered before his death. And he died to pay for our sin, or to purchase us a place in heaven. It may be a little cabin in the corner, or it may be out on Main Street. Or does it matter, though, if we're in the presence of God? We are called, the church is, and we, part of the church, have a responsibility to give a witness of the love of God shown to his people, you and I, in the person of Jesus Christ. The church does not exist for herself. Now, as you look at the churches, and you look at churches here or wherever you go, it would appear to an outsider looking in that we exist for the sake of existing in so many cases. We exist. We're here to perpetuate ourselves, or to save ourselves from extinction. But if we're not fulfilling our calling or our mission, it might be just as well if we did not exist anymore. We would quit trying to act like we were doing something great when we are fulfilling a portion of our mission. I talked last week about worship. Nothing more important that the church does than to come into God's presence, gathered together, and worship Him. And I think we've been somewhat faithful here at this place in doing that. But reaching out to the lost is also part of our reason for being. Worship and serving. Worship and serving. Obeying. Doing what God has called us to do. The church does not exist for herself. The book of Acts, chapter 13. The apostle Paul has been called into the ministry and is preaching or speaking in Antioch of Pisidia. If I pronounce that one right, I think I know how to pronounce Antioch. Every community has an Antioch church somewhere, does it not? Do they not? But Pisidia, Antioch of Pisidia. There's two Antiochs mentioned in Paul's work. And we, as a church, are included in his message right here. Our purpose, our mission. But that the world may know. That the world may know Jesus, the Christ. He says, therefore, it's Acts chapter 13, and it's verse 38 and following. My brothers, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sin, sins, is proclaimed to you. Through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through Him, through Jesus, everyone who believes is justified from everything that you could not be justified from by the law of Moses. See, it was taught that you were justified or made right with God by obedience to the law. And the Apostle Paul came along and God revealed to him, no, you're justified by faith in what Jesus has done on the cross for you. His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And Paul says, I want you to know that through Jesus, your sins are forgiven, or the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed. Our call to worship alluded to that. If you'll go back, the first part for you, the people, to read. We will tell of God's power and victorious love. Love that brought about forgiveness. Jesus provides us forgiveness. And then we're encouraged, or we even say, we prepared you to say this, that our songs of praise never end because of what God has done for us. That's understood. And let us feel the strength of God coursing through us. God's strength coursing through us, or flowing through us. The church. We. You. Me. We are called upon. It is our duty, our task, our responsibility, our calling to spend ourselves on behalf of others. We come to church and we expect it to be for us. Do we not? I didn't get anything out of that. Whatever. I always hear that about other preachers, and most of y'all are nice about me, but I'm sure it's said. I mean, I'm not that naive. We want the church to do things for us. And people say, well, what am I getting out of it? What's in it for me? But we're called on to first give ourselves for others. And if we can do that, God has said we'll be blessed through it. There will be something for us. But I think we've got it backwards. And I think we've had it backwards for generations. I don't know if we'll ever get it right or not. Just hope that we will. Just hope that we will. We are to spend ourselves on behalf of others, that the others may know the Christ that we know, the saving power of Jesus, the saving gift of Jesus, that He has given His life that we may know forgiveness of our sin. We need the rest of the world to know it. The rest of the world needs to know it. What is their hope if they don't know it? If we don't tell them, who will tell them? One of my frustrations about my ministry is that I have spent more time with the saved, and it's glorious to spend your time with the people of God, the saved people. But I've spent more time with the saved, with the church, ministering to whatever congregation I was blessed to be a part of. I spent more time with you than I have with the lost. More time ministering to you. We call it minding the store. And we fuss at ourselves for doing it. But it's necessary. Getting everything in order at the store. You know, the old country store is a good example of it. Or the grocery store. We got a new grocery store to open in our community. And they spent months, and then last few weeks, just getting everything in order for the customers to come in. But they didn't just bring the customers in to walk around and look and go out. They wanted to bless the customers with the goods that they had. So the first day, I stopped there and I said, what do you think I bought? Bluebell ice cream. She'll get me back on that somewhere. It's okay, you know. Oh, my. It is good, isn't it? Still, it's still good. But we kind of get things in order at the church, but it's kind of for ourselves, is it not? We're to be good for us. Is that not right? Am I being too mean? Where we'll be pleased and satisfied, and if I'm being mean, that's okay. From my side, I hope it is from yours too. Okay. Oh my. I do feel, and I've always felt, from the earliest time that my greatest calling was to minister to those who were already saved. And I even tried to prepare myself to go and witness and help people know Jesus and become saved. And I kept stumbling and faltering in that effort. But I've been also done more of that, maybe tried again and again and again. Maybe the next preacher will inspire you and get you more excited about reaching the lost and bringing them into the kingdom of God than I've been able to. And maybe it's my even feeling about my calling. But though I have lived with this and felt that was my calling, I do know that our greatest mission, other than worshiping God, second in line is to reach the lost for Jesus. That they may know that there is forgiveness of all that we need to be forgiven of in Him. What does the Bible say about it? I look at the prophet Isaiah. Back in chapter 43, God says to the prophet, I'm the one, and you're supposed to be the witness, telling Isaiah that he's supposed to be the witness that he is the only God. And then in Isaiah 49, and we read that for our scripture lesson or a portion of it, he said, it's a too small a thing for you to be my servant and restore the tribes of Jacob and to bring back those of Israel that I have kept. I got something else for you to do. And what he's saying to the Israelites through Isaiah, he's saying, you got one job to do. You're supposed to minister to the people in fellowship with me. We're supposed to minister and serve the Jewish community of the Israelites. But he said, that's not enough. That's too small a thing for you to do. There's a whole world of people out there that are not descendants of Abraham. And you need to be involved with that too. And that's what the message says to me. There's a whole congregation of people here. And there's a lot of people in a lot of churches throughout the world. But we need to be reaching out to those who are outside the church. Outside the fellowship of believers. And that's our calling and that's our purpose. What did Jesus say? Well, let me go to verse 8 in our scripture lesson as was printed. Isaiah 49 verse 8. This is what the Lord says. In the time of my favor I will answer you. In the day of salvation I will help you. God even told Isaiah and the people who listened to Isaiah that he was ministering to, that he was going to help them. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for my people, to restore the land, to reassign in desolate inheritance, to say to the captives, come out, and to those in darkness, be free. Those in darkness. Those who are in darkness, to the light of the world, Jesus, who is the Christ. What did Jesus say? Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. What does verse 18 say? Jesus comes before the disciples, the 11. He's been killed. He's been put in the grave. An earthquake came. God raised him up. And he's been walking upon the earth and he's about to depart. But he calls the disciples together and he says to them, fellas, I'm saying this with authority. They say, well, what authority does Jesus have to say to us? Jesus says that he was speaking with all of the authority of heaven. Can you beat that? The greatest authority that there could be. All the authority of heaven and earth. Read verse 18. I come to you, or I'm speaking with all authority. In other words, he's saying, I have the authority to say this. And one who's just been raised from the dead, I think we ought to listen to him, right? He says, go. Go. And make disciples of all nations, not just of the people of Israel. Go and make disciples of all nations. baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. In other words, don't just make disciples, teach them how to live as disciples, and teach them how to make other disciples. And then he promised, I am with you always. I will go with you. You don't have to do it alone. I'm with you. Take me with you. Go and make disciples wherever you can. Then in Luke, that was Matthew's hearing and what he felt Jesus really emphasized, but Luke does the same thing. Matthew was one of the 12. Then we have Luke. Wasn't one of the 12, but he had heard enough and studied enough and met enough people who had met Jesus, and he says this about what Jesus. Jesus had been buried, been crucified, buried, rose. He'd been on the road to Emmaus when he met two people. You know, the two that he met on the road to Emmaus. He ate with them. They recognized him. They rushed back to Jerusalem to tell that they had met the risen Savior. And while they were meeting with him, Jesus appeared. Oh, he came in and said to them, he opened their minds. They must have closed minds. You ever been accused of that? Your mind just closed up. Well, I have. We need to open our minds, though. Paul says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. He opened their minds so they could understand the Scriptures. Oh, what was the Scriptures he was referring to as the Old Testament? What had been said in the Old Testament? He told them, this is what is written, that Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You, Jesus says to those gathered with him, you are witnesses of these things. What does a witness do? You have seen these things. They had been with him. You are witnesses of these things. But what does a witness do? A witness sees it, the event, maybe even experiences the event, but he also goes and tells it. You're in court. Did you see this? Yes, I saw it. Tell us what you saw. So you witness it, that's one kind of witness, observing or participating in, and then telling about it. Bear witness. Speak forth as a witness. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. That was the same thing. He said, I'll be with you always. He will be with us in the form of the Holy Spirit. Be with us always. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with this power from on high. I'll go help you be the witness. Then in Acts chapter 1, verse 6 through 8, Luke again, the disciples met together and with Jesus. So they said, Lord, when are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And I'm convinced that they were still looking for him to restore the kingdom of Israel after the fashion of the kingdom that David or Solomon oversaw. An earthly kingdom. And basically, the next verse, the next phrase tells us what Jesus said. And if I could paraphrase very loosely, he said, ain't none of your business. Okay? That's not what you need to know. Because they'd have sat around and twiddled their thumbs and waited. But he was saying, he had said on and on and on, I'm not here to establish an earthly kingdom. We're talking about eternal things, a heavenly kingdom. And he says, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. That's God's business, and you don't have any business even asking for it, asking about it, when it's going to happen. But you, talking to the disciples, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He'd always promised that Holy Spirit. We read it back in Luke. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria, to the Jewish people, to the Samaritans, who the Jewish people didn't like. They didn't like Jewish people either. He says, you're going to have to be witnesses here in Jerusalem. You're going to be witnesses in Judea, the country. You're even going to have to go up to Samaria. Minister to those Samaritans. And then to all the earth, even those Americans. Or those Africans. Or those Asians. All the earth. To the ends of the earth. Jesus' words. Now what did Peter do? Peter was one of the 12. And what did he do? He became the spokesperson for the 11. They replaced Judas with Matthias. Drew straws or cast lots to do that. And chapter 2 of Acts. Acts, book of Acts, chapter 2. The Acts of the Apostles. What did they do? Peter preached. 3,000 were added because he told them like it was. And they believed. Chapter 3 of Acts. He went about healing. Not just what he said, it's what he did. They healed the man that was asking for money, a handout. He and John said, we don't got no money. Actually, he said, silver and gold have I none. That's the King James rendering, I think. But such as we have, we'll give to you. And they gave him healing. And then chapter 4. Go ahead and read that. Homework assignment, if you will, Acts 2, 3, and 4. What Peter did. Then what did Peter say? Acts chapter 5. He was preaching. He said, the God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. He said, you killed Jesus, but God raised him up. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. You killed him, but he gives you forgiveness and repentance, or repentance and forgiveness, in spite of it. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him. Chapter 10. I think he's in another country dealing with some Gentiles. We are witnesses of everything He did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. He did. Jesus did. He says, I'm a witness. I was there to see what they did to Jesus. I saw it with my eyes. They killed him by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. And he goes on to talk about this. And then in verse 42, he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. That in the Apostles' Creed, but it comes from the 10th chapter of Acts. 1 Peter. The Christians were scattered out of Jerusalem. 8th chapter of Acts, you find them being scattered. Persecutions. People went everywhere except the apostles, it says, indicating that the apostles, the 12, stayed there in Jerusalem. But the others, they were persecuted, so they scattered everywhere. 1 Peter is a letter to those scattered Christians that was supposed to be handed to them. And here's what he says to them. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen people. God has chosen us. You are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. Every person a priest. That's the message to Jenkins Church as well as it was to those scattered Christians. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a set-apart nation, a people belonging to God. Now why did He do this? Why did He make us? Why did He choose us? Why did He make us a royal priesthood? Why did He make us a holy nation? Why did He call us to belong to Him? That you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Then you move to Stephen, 6th, 7th, and 8th chapter of Acts. Stephen was a deacon. They elected seven to distribute the food. That's one of the responsibilities of the church, to help the widows and the orphans. And they were distributing the food to people that sold everything and pooled their resources. Then that's chapter 6. Chapter 7, Stephen gives a sermon. And you can read 6 and 7 and see how Peter, not a preacher, a deacon, but a great sermon there, tells the wonderful works of God. And then Paul and his co-workers. We've quoted from Paul, but Paul and his co-workers, they made 3 journeys throughout the Mediterranean area. If you want to see where he went and see what he did, read the last part of the book of Acts, 13 and following, and see where all Paul went to share the gospel. Jesus had saved him from sin and hell, and Paul was going about telling everybody that Jesus would save them too if they would trust Him. Our mission for God. Are we concerned about fulfilling our mission for God? Jesus went to the cross to purchase a place in heaven for us, for you. Jesus went to the cross. There He suffered. There He died to purchase a place in heaven for you, for all who would trust Him. What He asks of us is to just tell the story. Tell the story. Musicians. Pass it on. Just pass it on. What Jesus has done for you. This might be the time that you would trust in Jesus. That the message finally got through, and you know that you need to put your trust, your faith in Him. I'll be in the altar if that is your decision today. Thank you. Please stand.